When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Fantasy Bros Football Podcast. I'm Bobby Sylvester, joined as always by Mike Tagliere, and we're on Twitter at Bobby Fantasy Pro and at Mike Tagliere NFL. Tags, you nervous, man?
I've gotten to the point where I'm not nervous when we do mock draft shows anymore.
So are you gonna not try, or is it the kind of thing where, like, if you lose, you'll say you weren't trying?
Obviously, that's what's happening. I mean, like, we've kind of determined that I am the king of the mock draft. But this one's gonna be a little different today. So the thing is,
like, you might be on a winning streak. I think it's 5 right now, which is ridiculous. But over the course of this show, since you joined the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast, I'm pretty sure we're about 50-50. This is the rubber match.
I'd be interested to see those results, but I still think I'm the winner. I still think I'm ahead right now.
Okay, well, we'll find out. This is the rubber match. We're doing a Dynasty Startup mock today. Tags, before we get into it, though, we do have one piece of news to talk about in the fantasy implications.
We do. Jared Cook actually signed a deal. It's official now, where he's signing a 2-year deal with the New Orleans Saints. And he's going to get, I think it's at either $8 or $9 million guaranteed in the first year, which basically all but says he's going to be starting and he's going to be catching passes from Drew Brees in week one.
Do you mean like Kobe Fleener?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it could be a Kobe Fleener situation where Kobe Fleener, and that's the thing, is people forget about that and people laugh because it's Kobe Fleener, but he produced with Andrew Luck, you know, like he had like productive seasons. I don't have the numbers in front of me as to what Kobe Fleener did do with Andrew Luck, but I would almost venture to say that his best season with Andrew Luck was probably better than Jared Cook's season that he's ever had.
Yeah. I think that you're probably right. And Fleener wasn't actually that bad. Like, he was horrible. He was so horrible that people dropped him. But by the end of the season, I think he finished as a top 12 tight end. I think that's probably Jared Cook's floor with Drew Brees. I think now Andrew Luck is probably the number one quarterback for tight ends, but Drew Brees is still number two. And it's really funny that we said there's one piece of news. Like, this isn't even the biggest piece of news for tight ends. Rob Gronkowski retired, man.
He did retire. I mean, we have to look forward and see what, you know, fantasy implications there are. And obviously, from Gronk retiring, he's no longer in the league, and it's really sad. I feel like
Well, maybe. I don't know. He says he's not playing, but you saw what's-his-name,
the new coach. Drew Rosenhaus's agent, said that it's possible that, you know, if Tom Brady calls up Gronk and says, hey, I need you for a couple games, that he would potentially come back. But if he's not going to start the year with that team, it's like, you have to wonder, when does this dynasty end? And I'm being the division that they're in, they're probably going to make the playoffs. So it is possible that we see Gronk on a football field again.
I'll tell you when everyone says the dynasty is going to end: week 3 of 2019, because that's what happens with the Patriots every year. And then they go to the Super Bowl.
It seems like it. And that's the thing, is once the Patriots are in the playoffs, and I said it last year, even after saying that I felt like the Patriots weren't the same team during the regular season, I said, once we got to the playoffs, there is no way that you can make anybody the favorite over them. That's why I chose the Patriots over the Chiefs when they played in the AFC Championship.
So I moved Jared Cook up to my number 9 tight end, because I do believe in Drew Brees with tight ends that much. That's where I had Gronk. So behind Ebron, Ingram, Njoku, and then obviously the top five, Howard, Henry, Kittle, Ertz, Kelsey. Is that where you have Cook as well? And in best ball leagues, I'm still drafting Gronk in the top 20 tight ends, right behind Austin Hooper, Jimmy Graham, Chris Herndon.
Yeah, I feel like Jared Cook is like a low-end tight end one. And I mean,
don't
like,
want him. But yeah, I'd rather have him than Greg Olsen or Jordan Reed.
Yeah, Olsen might retire. Like, that's a possibility that Greg Olsen walks into the booth. So he might retire. Like, you get into the conversation of guys like David Njoku, right? And that's the area where I think that Jared Cook now belongs, where you don't necessarily want to draft him. You don't want to reach for him in a draft. Like, if he falls to you, it's okay. Like, you're fine with that, because I feel like Jared Cook, let's not forget, like, I know he did well last year, but 2018 was the first time in his career that the guy has topped 800 yards in a season.
And how many tight end one performances do you have? Four, five?
Yeah, it was very top heavy, where he had a couple big games and like the rest was, there was a lot of blah in between there. So he's kind of like that streaming guy. And let's not forget, you know, he is going to Drew Brees, but he came from Aaron Rodgers before he went to Oakland. So it's not like he hasn't played with an elite quarterback before. And, you know, Drew Brees, ever since Jimmy Graham, Drew Brees hasn't really targeted the tight end position very much. So I don't know. And the fact that Jared Cook has never scored more than six touchdowns in a season, it makes me feel like if he's not going to be heavily involved in the red zone, it's like, how valuable is he going to be? And I think that you could have an honest conversation about, should you draft him or someone like Trey Burton? I think that they belong in the same territory.
I think so as well. And Trey Burton's going to go undrafted in a lot of leagues. Not in my league. If I don't have a tight end in the top five, Burton is the guy that I'm falling back on. Now, let me ask you this, Tags. Who had more tight end one performances last year, Jared Cook or Dallas Goedert?
Oh, I know you're going to tell me it's Dallas Goedert, but I would have guessed Cook, actually.
Yeah, it's really kind of crazy. Dallas Goedert scored all those touchdowns, and he wasn't on the field very much. I'm just not so sure that I would, you know, you can expect Jared Cook to be a top 12 tight end, but that doesn't mean you should be excited about drafting him just because he's with Drew Brees. It's the best possible landing spot, you know, because if he would have gone to Indianapolis, he would have been there with obviously Ebron and Jack Doyle, but he's going to get playing time here. It's a bummer for Dan Arnold. I'm a Dan Arnold lover. I really wanted him to be the guy in New Orleans, but it looks like Jared Cook is the guy.
Yep, he is for at least the next 2 years, and that's basically for the rest of Drew Brees' career.
Yep. All right, Tags, today's Mock Draft Butt Whoopin' is sponsored by Pristine Auction. We've been telling you guys about Pristine Auction, and today is the big day. So here's how it works. They've got daily auctions, they've got classic auctions, elite auctions, and weekly auctions. The weekly auctions are on Tuesdays. That's when we're recording this. And I always pay attention every day to like certain kinds of items just in case there's something really good. But I'll miss out on values on those days because I can't pay attention as much as I would like to. But on Tuesdays, I'm all in. I'm looking at everything because there's so many options in the weekly auctions. Just yesterday, I saw a Michael Gallup signed helmet. $47, Tags. This was chrome, too.
A full-size helmet?
A full-size helmet. If you would buy this Michael Gallup, if you would buy a chrome Cowboys full-size helmet, cost you, what, $150? You add a Michael Gallup signature to it, you can get it for $47.
It devalues it? I mean, come on, guys. Like, we're to be better.
People just, we're not paying attention. I don't know. I'm not a big Cowboys fan, not a big Michael Gallup fan. If I saw this, I would have got it, dude.
I like Gallup, but I think that the reason that I'm not expecting a breakout or anything is because Amari Cooper's there. I mean, when Amari's there, he's the number one. That's just how it's going to be. I think Gallup can be a good number two. But, I mean, if you're a Cowboys fan, to get that for $47, it's like, that's cheaper than going out to dinner.
I know, man. It's wild. And this one's not the best value, but I wanted to share it just to show you guys. Like, there are so many really cool things on Pristine Auction. If you want to spend some money, you can go out and get something like this. I saw an Ohio State Buckeyes jersey that said Bosa Brothers, and it was signed by both of them. How sweet would that look in a frame in your cave?
That is really cool. I remember that there was some times where they had like dual jerseys of like things like that. Like if they took half the Chargers and then half of, well, I don't know if it's going to be a Cardinals of the Bosa brothers, but half of them and then like combine the jerseys. There was a company that did that. I can't remember who it was, but it was pretty neat.
Yeah, everything on Pristine Auction, guys, is guaranteed authentic from only the most trusted sources. There are so many options. There's a ton of values if you look too. And we've got a contest going on thanks to Pristine Auction. Go to fantasypros.com/contest to sign up. Submit your name for a chance to win a signed Davante Adams Packers helmet. This thing is sweet. It takes about 30 seconds to enter. Again, that's fantasypros.com/contest. And the website is pristineauction.com, PRISTINE. All right, Tags, mock draft time. And like I said, we're doing a dynasty startup mock draft. So For those of you who don't know what that means, a startup draft means we are beginning a dynasty draft brand new. We're not just drafting the rookies, we're drafting our entire rosters. And in dynasty leagues, they're not like keeper leagues where you keep one, two, maybe three or four players. Dynasty leagues, we're keeping almost everybody. So we're drafting 18 players. This is going to include the rookies, but because, you know, Draft Wizard is based around the rankings tags, we're not going to select any rookies because some people haven't submitted rookies in the rankings. Other peoples have. But we're doing a 12-team league, one quarterback, three starting running backs, four starting wide receivers, three flex, one tight end, and then six bench. And the reason we're doing this is because if you're in a dynasty league, it's deep. And you want the most skill possible. The deeper the league is, the more skill is shown, right?
Yeah, and the six bench spots, that's in the interest of the podcast, obviously, because I mean
we could have gone 12.
Yeah, I do. Bobby, my deepest league that I have is it's an industry league. It's a 14 team league where we have 36 man rosters, and it is ridiculous. Like legit, like, you know, fullbacks are owned. Guys on practice squads are owned. So you can go as deep as you want to, just depending on who you're playing with. But if you're just getting into dynasty, I'd say a good place to start is probably about 25-man rosters and a 12-man. Yeah. You know, there's still going to be some talent on the waiver wire, but not too much. I just prefer, you know, your bench should be like full of guys that have plenty of potential. And we'll talk about those guys today.
And there's really not too many guys to pick up, but every single season there's some guys that you pick up and it's like, holy cow, I can't believe he was available in this deep of a league. How many rookie rounds would you have each season?
Rookie rounds in a 12-man league, I think that you should have at least four. My preference is like five or six, but at least four rounds. You need at least four rounds. 48 players should be drafted, and that is going to leave some talent. Like Philip Lindsay was a guy that was not drafted in the top 48 players last year, but he's someone that, you know, obviously could have been drafted if you had a fifth or a sixth round in your rookie draft.
Speak for yourself, man. I drafted him the first 48 picks.
I don't remember where I drafted him. In that league I'm talking about, that 14-man league that I'm in, I did draft him there. I don't remember the round, and it's a 14 team. It might have been, I think it was the fourth round, but with 14 teams, it's obviously deeper.
Yeah, we both liked Philip Lindsay last year. Now, we weren't going to recommend him in a redraft league because it's like, clearly this is Royce Freeman's backfield. Who would have known? But yeah, he always liked his talent. He was just that scat back, and who would have known he could be a three down guy as well.
Yep.
All right, Tags, let's do this. Hit the randomize button. No cheating.
All right, randomize. I am getting I got 11th.
Oh, baby. I got
so
four.
I'm not excited.
So
about
I have no
season.
Excuses this time.
I have, yeah, we both have bad spots. I don't like picking 11. This is the worst. I know
I don't
some
mind
people...
fourth, and I don't mind fourth at all. In fact, I think that's my favorite spot this year.
Fourth? You have fourth?
Yeah. Oh, what do you think I said?
Oh, I thought you said 12th. For whatever reason,
oh,
I have 11.
No, I was saying that you had 12th, and then you hit the randomize button again. I'm picking fourth, baby.
Oh, this is brutal. This is going to be terrible. Yeah.
And by the way, Tags and I are doing different drafts. Usually when we do these mock drafts, we've been doing multi-user drafts, which is where we can be in the same exact league. And so, you know, if I pick Christian McCaffrey, he can't pick him. But they don't have that set up for Dynasty yet. They're actually building it out right now. So we're going to be doing different types of drafts. So I could pick McCaffrey. And then Tags, maybe he drops to you. No, he's not dropping to you at 11. You're gonna have no options. So I've got Todd Gurley, Christian McCaffrey, Odell Beckham, and Kamara. Tags, I got to go Odell Beckham in a dynasty league. He's my 1-1.
Yeah, he's my 1-1 as well, and I'm pretty upset that. I mean, he actually, in my draft, he fell to 1-9 somehow.
I would have been so mad.
Yeah, and that's the best thing about the Draft Wizard is it's not like the same draft every time. So just because we are in the same draft room, it's good because we're going to have different drafts. And that's the way that it is in real life, where it's like, you know, Juju Smith-Schuster just came off the board, you know, before my pick at 111. And that's just, to me, that's crazy. I wouldn't take Juju as a top 11 pick in Dynasty, but
he's like end of the second round for me.
A lot of people, that's the thing, is a lot of people, there's obviously some people that do because the Draft Wizard is smart enough to where it's going to, you know, mix that up so it's not the same draft you're doing every single time.
I mean, some of the guys still on my board here at the end of the second round are just like, how could you pick Juju over him? He went 2-3 in mine. Michael Thomas almost fell to your spot. Christian McCaffrey went 1-8, and you're right, it's a different draft every single time. So who are you looking at? You going to go with Le'Veon Bell here as well?
No. So yeah, Saquon went number one in my draft, obviously. Christian McCaffrey 2, Todd Gurley 3, Ezekiel Elliott 4, Alvin Kamara 5.
Rob Gurley went 1-7 in mine.
Who did?
Todd Gurley.
He went 1-3 in mine. And that's the thing. So Juju's already off the board. But me, I consider myself pretty lucky to land Davante Adams here.
Whoo, man, he went 1-6 in mine. You are a turd.
Well, the thing is, he's my number three dynasty receiver behind only Odell Beckham and DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, Adams is tied to Aaron Rodgers for the foreseeable future. He's the number one there, even if they do draft a wide receiver relatively high. Adams has proven to be a number one. And like, you know, and that was arguably his floor because you look at, you know, what, you know, Aaron Rodgers has done throughout his career. And like last year was essentially a floor and Devontae Adams was able to finish as a top one or two receiver, depending on the scoring system. So definitely in love with getting him at 111. And now on the way back, it's like, I'm looking at guys like, you know, Mike Evans and Julio Jones are on the board, but I don't have a running back. And if I, this is why I hate being on the end of a draft, because I feel like I'm being pushed into drafting a running back here, even if I don't want to, just because like, if I pass on a running back here, I'm going to be looking at guys like maybe Leonard Fournette as my RB1. And I'm not necessarily against that, but if he's gone, it might be Philip Lindsay or Marlon Mack. And I don't want that as my RB1.
I'm in the same spot. I'm nervous. I don't know what to do.
But looking at Julio Jones sitting here, do I draft Julio Jones or David Johnson? And that's the question that I have to kind of figure out. And, you know, I want to take Julio, but I really don't want to be left in a hole at running back. I think I'm going to have to take David Johnson here. I mean, he's older and this is tough. This is really tough.
Here's what I think, Tags. I don't care so much about getting the top running backs in a dynasty draft just because there are so many good options later in drafts. You can go get Mark Ingram. You can go get Latavius Murray, Carlos Hyde, Tariq Cohen, all these guys super late, whereas wide receivers are going to fly off the board and it is going to get ugly quick. You know, I would just say go get your running backs for 1 year, figure it out again next year when who knows who's... I mean, Damian Williams is a running back one this year. He would have gone on draft in dynasty leagues. There are always running backs to pick up. Wide receivers, that's not the case. I would get Julio Jones.
Yeah, and I have a bone to pick with people too. A lot of people, like I posted on Twitter about our take on Carlos Hyde. And is if you were to go back to last year, you know, people would have been like, oh, Carlos Hyde and Andy Reid's offense. And if you said Carlos Hyde or Damian Williams, everyone would have said Carlos Hyde. And if you come at me on Twitter and tell me that you would have taken Damian Williams, you're full of crap. You want to know why I know that? Because he was unowned in practically every single league. So therefore, nobody really believed in his skill set until they saw him do it on the field, you know, at the end of the season. So don't feed me your crap saying that, oh no, Damian Williams was always talented. He wasn't even owned in Dynasty. So guys, just chill with that stuff. But Bobby might have talked me into it. You know, like, it's pretty hard to pass.
I'm looking out for you, man. I don't care about winning this. You know, I've won so many baseball mock drafts this preseason that my pride's intact.
And you know what? David Johnson is 27 years old. That's another thing that's on the Draft Wizard. It shows next to the player, it shows their age and like how they're getting there. Now, I know Julio is actually 30 years old this year, but wide receivers tend to last a little bit longer.
27 is like 40 years old for a quarterback.
Yeah. You know what? My position has always been to take as many elite players as possible. So I guess I'm just going to grab Julio Jones here.
Yeah, man.
And deal with the running backs later. So Bobby talked me into that one. So, I mean, if it hurts me, kudos to Bobby. But if it helps me, awesome.
If it helps him, that's because I won the draft for him. So essentially, it's a win for me. All right, man. I'm sitting here at the end of the second round. Stephon Diggs, Antonio Brown, Keenan Allen, Travis Kelce. I would love to get Antonio Brown and Travis Kelce. It's one or the other, though. I could wait and maybe get George Kittle in 7 picks. Wide receiver, the drop-off from that is probably to Kenny Galladay. Or A.J. Green might be there. I think I'm going to do that. I'm going to risk it and hopefully get A.J. Green and just not go running back in the first 3 rounds. So let's go Travis Kelce and hopefully Green is there on the way back.
Yeah, Kelce. I mean, so wait. So you took Kelce. Is O.J. Howard still on the board?
Oh, yeah. O.J. Howard's still on the board.
You said you'd take O.J. Howard over Travis Kelce.
I did say that.
You did. So you just trucked yourself.
Man. See, I'm trying to win a draft, though, too.
Yeah, it's okay. Believe me, I actually would take Travis Kelce over him. But, I mean, and the thing is, a lot of people came to your defense on Twitter about that one, too, saying that they agreed.
Everybody came to my defense
with your
on
take.
Twitter.
I would
the president
still
came to my defense on Twitter. I don't know if you saw that tweet.
No, definitely not.
Okay, that wasn't actually real. But, okay, man, this sucks. AJ Green was taken right before me. George Kittle's still there. Can I hit the revert pick button?
No.
That's a really cool feature on Draft Wizard. Like, we're not doing that on the live podcast, but really, like, if you want to practice your drafts, if you have a draft coming up, just run through 5 mock drafts in like 7 minutes each. You can do 5 drafts during your lunch break and still eat your food if you've got an hour-long lunch break without rushing whatsoever. And then you're ready for your draft. And if you don't like how it worked out, you can hit the revert pick button. And it just, you know, it helps you practice better. So you can see, you know, if I change this one pick. Or at the end of your draft, once you see the whole draft board, you can say, I want to go back to round five and restart there and see if I can do a better job. It's really cool how the developers set that up.
Yep, and the pick predictor is awesome. Obviously, like, there's so many different features in here. Like, you could spend all day trying to figure out the new features in there. But it's really nice. And like I said, my favorite thing about the entire thing is that, you know, when you do mock drafts that are typically this fast, you're doing them against a computer and they're always the same thing. And it's like, how, you know, how varying is that? But these ones, like, do shift the drafts every single time. So you'll never get the same one. And that's like the coolest thing to me.
So Tags, I've got some options. And since I helped you, I'm expecting you will help me as well. I think that's how this works. I can't really decide between Brandon Cooks, 25 years old. Kenny Galladay's 25. Kenny Galladay's the same age as Brandon Cooks. Aaron Jones, Sony Michel are the two top running backs. I don't have one yet. Wouldn't mind Leonard Fournette or Darius Geis either, but I don't know. Maybe one of them will fall. Marlon Mack will probably be there for me next round. So who do you like the best out of these four?
I'd probably go running back there just because, like, I've talked about, like, my disdain for, like, having an RB1 that potentially could be someone like Philip Lindsay, and I don't want that because I think Royce Freeman's very talented, and I don't want a timeshare running back to be my RB1 is basically what it comes down to. So that's, for me, it's like all about snagging a running back. Now, does Aaron Jones fit that mold? He should. I mean, he should be an RB1. He shouldn't be involved in a heavy timeshare, but we do have some questions about the Green Bay offense. So taking him at the start of the third round, it might be a little bit too pricey.
So here's what I'm going to do. Basically, I was just trying to buy myself time to think about it on my own. Didn't even listen to it. I'm just kidding.
Oh, nice.
I'm drafting Brandon Cooks. Man, four straight years. 1,100, 1,100, 1,100, 1,200 yards. And he's 25 years old playing in Sean McVay's offense. Got to do it.
Yeah, I mean, Brandon Cooks, like, continually puts up some numbers. Like, I was a little bit disappointed in his usage in the Rams, or his production, I should say. It just, I didn't feel like there was as many big performances that you would expect out of him going to that offense, where it's like, you know, looking at someone like T.Y. Hilton, you're probably going to get some up and downs as well, but I think T.Y.'s, like, ups were bigger than Brandon Cooks. Now, he is still young, so that obviously favors into him. But yeah, your receivers are, so you're looking, your receivers now, you have Travis Kelce, Odell Beckham, and Brandon Cooks. That's a bad start.
Yeah, so even if I get Jameis Winston, man, I'm passing for like 6,000 yards this year.
I just hope that your running backs
are terrible. That's how fantasy football works, right?
I'm just rooting for terrible running backs for you.
I'm just rooting for you to draft Joe Flacco on accident.
That is not going to happen because he's not even in my queue. My pick, it comes back, and I'm actually really happy that Leonard Fournette's still here. And I'm going to take him because, as I mentioned, I don't want a timeshare. Aaron Jones is still there, too. And pick predictor is telling me that there's a 41% chance that he'll be drafted by my next pick, but there's only two picks in between.
You're going to get both of them, and I'm going to quit.
The thing is, I am going to get both of them. I'm guessing just because. So Joe Mixon and Melvin Gordon went to the number 12 pick. So he already snagged two running backs. So it's unlikely he's going to go running back the 3-4 turn. So I'm going to take Fournette. I'm going to be happy about it because he is an RB1 that is, like, he has full control of that backfield. Nick Foles, not really excited about it. They're going to be a run-first team still. But, yeah, I'm happy about getting Leonard Fournette, like, waiting at running back. I would rather have, like I said, so my decision
here. So hold on. Did Aaron Jones fall?
Aaron Jones did fall.
Oh, you big jerk.
I told you it was going to happen, and I'm going to take Aaron Jones with this one to fill my other, because, like, so basically going back to my second round pick, I'm glad Bobby talked me into Julio because I would rather have Julio and Leonard Fournette than David Johnson and someone like, let me see who went right after I picked, and like a Robert Woods or a Corey Davis.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I feel like I have two studs. Like I am in love with my lineup right now.
A team, we're going to win this draft, man.
Don't blame the draft. It's this is on me. I made the decisions, Bobby.
Oh, man. Okay, so you picked your guys, you know, all pro team or whatever. Here are my options. Marlon Mack, or I could just keep waiting at running back, which I might do because DJ Moore is there, Calvin Ridley, Chris Godwin, I'm not going Mike Williams yet. Andrew Luck is still there, Tags. What do you think about drafting a quarterback in the fourth round in a dynasty mock?
No. And that's the thing, is I think I've realized that I value quarterbacks more than most do. even in Dynasty, compared to like the industry.
I like them more in Dynasty than in startups.
Well, it's like you don't have to worry about it because you're not going to be able to stream in Dynasty. And that's why I think quarterbacks do have a little more value, because all the quarterbacks are going to be owned. They're going to be on roster, so you can't.
There's going to be 40 quarterback zones. You won't be able to pick up a starter. Correct. I want a really good one early. So I'm going to go ahead and draft Marlon Mack and then hope Andrew Luck drops to me. If he does, I'll take him there.
I'm guessing he will, because he's still on the board for me.
It says 47% chance. You ready for this? Let's do it. Oh, baby. Andrew Luck's there. I win.
So Marlon Mack and Andrew Luck. So you got yourself a Colts backfield.
That's right. I'm not done either. I'm going Nyheim Hines next. That would be way too... Holy cow. Okay, here we are. I'm in the sixth round. And Tags, I'm going to let you make your picks, but I just want to say this. There are 33 running backs off the board, and I have one in a three running back league.
Yeah, I'm at pick 511, and there are already 28 running backs gone, 25 receivers. Yeah, so it's pretty ugly here, too.
You're now going O.J. Howard here, right?
The next highest, he actually is on the board still, and I believe me, I'm debating him. But knowing that we start three running backs, we start four wide receivers, tight end's a bit devalued for me. And this one, yeah, Calvin Ridley is the highest on my board, but I already have Julio Jones. I am not going to have teammates playing alongside. I don't want to do that. I just feel like it's limiting my upside, where it's like, I typically don't pay attention to like if I have a running back and a receiver or a quarterback and a receiver. I don't feel the need to pair players or anything like that, but I don't want two wide receivers on the same team if I can help it. There's a guy that's right next to Calvin.
I never mind that so much.
There's a guy next to Calvin Ridley on my list that is, you could actually make the argument that he's actually should be worth more, and that's Chris Godwin. Godwin obviously flashed last year. Bruce Arians is talking about using him in the slot, which to me, it feels like it's a no-brainer. Godwin could play anywhere in the field. In slot targets are worth more than perimeter targets. So I will go ahead and take Chris Godwin with my 5'11". Well,
now I have to root for your team because Chris Godwin's my guy.
He is your dude, yeah. Yeah, and running back, by the way, gets really dirty real quick. So I'm looking at it. So Andrew Luck's still on the board, by the way, in my draft. At 6'2", if I want him. OJ Howard's still there. I'm debating that. But again, knowing that we start three running backs, I want to get this out of the way. Chris Carson is available.
Trade him to me, man. Draft him, and I'll trade you Odell Beckham for him.
It's between Chris Carson and Kenyon Drake, and you know, with the uncertainty in the Dolphins franchise right now, I don't want to invest in that, because they could. It's very possible they draft a running back. I like Kenyon Drake. I think he's talented. I think he can produce. But I'm gonna go Chris Carson here. I know they run the ball, and even though they drafted Rashad Penny number one, they kept giving Chris Carson the rock. So I'm gonna snag him and get my third running back out of the way.
Hold on. All right. So name your roster, Tags. Who all is on this perfect team? Because it sounds amazing to me right now.
It's pretty good. I mean, I have Aaron Jones, Leonard Fournette, and Chris Carson at running back. My wide receivers, Devontae Adams, Julio Jones, and Chris Godwin.
That is so good.
Yeah, it's pretty sick.
I really have a lot of ground to make up. So I'm going to draft Sammy Watkins right now with Tyreek Hill. Who knows what's going to happen with him? He could be the number one in Patrick Mahomes' offense for a long time. 25 years old still, Tags. And yes, he does believe that the earth is flat, but he's going to help me in fantasy football. That's what I need.
This is a good area to grab him, honestly. Like, it's the area where he should be going. Like, there are some risks to him with his foot, but at the same time, if something did happen with Tyreek Hill and if he's no longer on the team, then, you know, Sammy Watkins, all of a sudden, he's going to see, you know, 120 targets in that offense.
Mm-hmm. So here's what I'm looking at. Pick Predictor says that all the running backs that I like, Ronald Jones, Duke Johnson, Nyheim Hines, they're all going to be there for me next round, Carlos Hyde. So I'm just going to wait at running back. I need to decide between my fourth wide receiver now, and I'm probably going to end up filling up my flex with a bunch of wide receivers as well, and then just go pass catching running backs. It's going to be ugly. It's almost a zero running back strategy, but man, what do you think? Tyler Lockett, Anthony Miller, Doug Baldwin? Or I could just go O.J. Howard and have a monopoly on tight ends.
You continue.
Next round, I'll go David Njoku.
You continue to think about that while I contemplate my pick, because you didn't listen to
me.
Oh,
you're up. No, I'm up. I drafted Sammy Watkins. I still have another pick, man.
You do. That's what I'm saying.
You're trying to cheat.
You got to figure out your pick here.
All right. I'm going to go with I'm going to go with Doug Baldwin now.
Baldwin is like he's a walking time bomb, apparently.
Yeah, I'm going to go for it, man. I want to win a championship this year. I think my team is built to win now with Travis Kelce and all these other guys. I'm going to go get Doug Baldwin. Hopefully I can win a championship this year and I'll replace him when I need to, when his body's done falling apart. It's pretty close.
Yeah, well, I've gotten to 7-11, and I am not selecting Doug Baldwin, even though he still is on the board. Andrew Luck did go. Aaron Rodgers just went one pick before me. I would have taken Rodgers 100%. And actually, I am probably going to go quarterback here. Russell Wilson is my number four dynasty quarterback, and he's available. And, you know, the quarterback.
Wait a second. No, he's not. Who do you have him above? Mahomes, Luck, Rodgers.
Those are my three that
Mayfield.
I have those guys ahead of him. Russell Wilson, Baker Mayfield, Deshaun Watson. Those are guys. Those are the next tier.
You don't have Baker above Russell Wilson.
I do not.
You are no longer Baker Mayfield's biggest fan.
So hold on a second. Before Baker even took off this past season, where everybody fell in love with him, and now all of a sudden he's like, you know, locked in as a top four dynasty quarterback. I had Baker in my top 10 quarterbacks before all that happened. And like nobody else did. But I moved him up to five. I like Baker an awful lot. I still don't think that he should be drafted over guys that have a proven track record of so many years, like Russell Wilson, where it's like, you're just guaranteed production out of Russell Wilson. Like, it's just,
he went QB2 in my draft, fourth round.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm saying is like Russell Wilson shouldn't be on the board this late. And that's why I'll take him. Like, cause if we got past that tier of Russell Wilson, Mayfield and Watson, which by the way, Watson and Mayfield were already off the board. I'm not going to draft Carson Wentz or Jared Goff or Cam Newton this soon. I wouldn't have, but Russell Wilson here at 7-11, I'll take him. And you're going to love this. I got the guy that you would draft over Travis Kelce at 8-2. I got OJ Howard. Welcome to the squad.
This is so wrong. I'm still going to win. It's going to be amazing. You've got this perfect team that we both love, and I'm going to win, and I'm going to hold it over you forever.
Good luck with
that. This is going to start. I'm reversing the curse right here. I'm starting a 20 mock draft win streak.
All right. Well, I'm interested to see how you finish your draft, because so far you have not beat me.
Well, here's how it's going to work. I'm going Kiki QT right now because he's still available. Let's put him in the flex. And you know what? Let's just keep waiting on running back because James Washington's there. So I've got James Washington, flex number two.
Holy Jesus. We have three flex spots too. I keep forgetting how deep this one is.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
We set it up so deep.
Uh-oh, yeah. Running backs. oh my God, just went off the board. This is going to be interesting.
Yeah.
All right, so you're up, man. I took the two best players in the world, Kiki QT and James Washington. What are you going to do now?
All right. So
you do like those picks, right?
I'm at the point now where it's going to continue to be, you know, best player available.
That's, Tags just ignoring me now. Tags doesn't even care.
I'm in a zone. I need to beat you. So, you know, despite all the reports that the Giants aren't interested in Dwayne Haskins, I'm not buying it. Apparently they did take him to dinner. They've been at all his events and it seems like they are interested in him. And if they do draft Dwayne Haskins, it's going to bump the receivers up in the future. Sterling Shepard, I've been on record as saying that the Golden Tate signing has hurt his production possibilities, but at the same time, there's targets to go around. He wouldn't last to 9-11 if Golden Tate didn't sign there. So I'm going to take Sterling Shepard here. I do believe in the player, even though I do worry about the offense and where they're kind of headed.
Yeah, I thought about taking him or Golden Tate, actually, but Kiki QT was there, and you know I'm a big QT fan. So
for sure.
I just realized Nyheim Hines went the pick before me. That's just wrong.
That is wrong. But Bobby, I still have one more pick at 10-2 before you make yours. And you're going to be really upset to find out that Lamar Miller is still on my board.
Are you kidding me?
I think there's a possibility that Lamar Miller gets cut, which is why I hadn't even contemplated him up till now.
He went in the sixth round in my draft. Are you kidding me?
See, that's what I'm saying. Like, you just need to understand. You talk nice to players and they might hang around. Michael Gallup is still there.
What is this, like a family and friends league? Is there some setting that I didn't realize, Tags?
So Kiki QT is still available, but I'm going to take a running back from one of my flex spots. It gives me some depth at running back in case, you know, something, you know, God forbid something were to happen to one of my running backs and I needed to bump someone up. But Lamar Miller in an offense that has plenty of weapons, you know, I do think there's a possibility he gets cut. It's a possibility that he only plays one more year with the Texans, but I will take that year of production in my flex spot.
That's a very good pick. So is it my turn yet, or are you just going to take
it? It is
all
your turn.
Players?
I believe you're at 11. What are you at, 11-7 or something like that? Or 11-8?
I'm at 10-9. So
no, that's right.
Close.
That's right. Gotcha.
You know what? I would really love to take Curtis Samuel or Dante Moncrief here, but I really need a running back. Also, Dallas Goedert, I'd like to get him right here as soon as Travis Kelce retires. I'll tell you what, I go right to one of the top three tight ends in the league, probably. I can't do it, though. I have to take Duke Johnson as my number two running back.
Duke Johnson is your number two. Good luck with that.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes, man.
You better hope he gets traded to a team that'll use him.
Okay, so Carlos Hyde, it looks like he's still going to be there next round. I could go LeSean McCoy, who's probably going to start this year. Maybe not. Maybe it'll be Frank Gore. I think I'm going to get Carlos Hyde and Latavius Murray in the next two rounds. So I can still get Curtis Samuel or Dante Moncrief. It looks like Dallas Goedert was taking the pick before me. What do you think about Josh Gordon, man? Would you take him?
Josh Gordon just went off the board. No, I wouldn't. Me either. Yeah, I wouldn't take Josh Gordon. I don't think that he's worth a dynasty pick right now. You just don't want that headache on your roster because you're stuck in a position where it's like you look at your team and you're like, I really want to pick up this guy off the waiver wire, but I don't want to draw Josh Gordon because he's got so much potential. But
yeah,
you know, you'll literally talk yourself in circles. I've done that on my own dynasty teams with him, and I traded him away in all but one this past season, and I couldn't be happier not have to worry about that anymore.
So I'm going with Curtis Samuel over Dante Moncrief. It was a really hard decision for me. I love both these guys. But in a deeper league, Samuel's going to be the type of guy that you start every single game. And yeah, he's going to hurt you some, but he's going to be amazing in some other games. And I'll take plenty of upside players like that and expect two or three of them to perform every week to, you know, come out to five quality players.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so it is back to you. I took Curtis Samuel and Duke Johnson. All of a sudden, I think that my team is probably the second best in the league behind yours. No, Latavius Murray went.
So it's funny you should mention his name because I'm probably going to end up selecting him. But first, I'm going to take my own advice here. I'm going to do it because like I don't have to yet because I think he'll still be there. But I'm going to do it because I said I would do it. Once you get into the double-digit rounds, if you want to take a flyer on Ronald Jones potentially being the starting running back for the...
He's still there, too?
For the Tampa Bay Bucks,
He went the ninth round in my draft. What is going on over there?
That means there's some people that are going earlier in mine that are still available in yours. Maybe you're just overlooking the value, Bobby. I don't know. I can't answer.
Oh, yeah, Kalen Ballage. I'm so excited.
A lot of people might be. I'm not. but, yeah, so... Ronald Jones, I know he's not a sure thing, but when you're in this range, it's like looking for running back depth. It's really tough to come by. So I will take him there. And now it comes down to, do I take Latavius Murray, who Bobby just said just went in his, and I know that I'm getting production out of him for the next 2 years, or do I go with someone like Curtis Samuel and take the upside? I feel like there's a lot of upside wide receivers that I can still get in the draft that might be there on my way back. I'm going to skip over Curtis Samuel. I'm going to take Latavius Murray, and I'm pretty much done with running backs because now I have six of them on my roster.
You want to trade some to me?
I could do that. We could talk afterwards. I mean,
all right.
You could send me Travis Kelce for Ronald Jones.
Am I getting O.J. Howard?
Nah, I'll give you O.J. Howard.
For Kelce straight up?
O.J. Howard for Kelce straight up. Yeah, I'll give you O.J. Howard and Ronald Jones for Kelce.
I don't know, man. We'll talk after the draft, even though this is a mock, so it doesn't really matter. Carlos Hyde is still on the board, but you know what? I got to squeeze as much out of this draft as possible. There's only an 11% chance that Carlos Hyde is taken before my next pick, so I'm going to try to squeeze this out right now. I need to decide, do I want Austin Ekeler, LeSean McCoy, or go with another one of these wide receivers that I love? Jamison Crowder, Robert Foster, Larry Fitzgerald. I'm going to go Ekeler now. Because we don't know what McCoy's going to be. We do know what Eckler's going to be. Still just 23 years old. Always going to be involved in this Chargers offense. And we saw what he became when Melvin Gordon was hurt. So there's some upside here as well. Someone you can start every single week as that PPR guy. This is a half PPR league. So I'll go Ekeler. And it looks like I don't need to take... Oh, I do need to take Carlos Hyde now. So I'm going to do it. Oh, man. All my guys are going to be gone. McCoy, Chris Thompson, Rob Foster, Jamison Crowder. If one of them drops, though, I'm going to do cartwheels.
So you're done with your picks?
I'm done with my picks, but I can't wait to make my next two.
All right, that's fine. I'm feeling still good about this. I'm down to my bench. All right, so as I've mentioned, I'm taking best player available, and the Draft Wizard is telling me that the best running back available is in the range of Chris Thompson, Kenneth Dixon, Kalen Ballage. Not really excited about them. Quarterbacks, I have Russell Wilson. I'll take another one, but I'm not going to take one now. Don't need to. Wide receiver, Jamison Crowder is the top on my list. And, you know, I think a lot of people, even in best ball leagues right now, like I've been doing some best ball drafts and people are undervaluing Jamison Crowder.
I don't love him for best ball because he's more of a consistent guy.
Yeah, but the thing, he could provide a floor that people are looking for. So, I mean, I feel like he presents a floor that you kind of want. And I think, like I said, yeah. I don't think he should be drafted where he did. Like there's like over 60 wide receivers off the board. He shouldn't be going outside the top 60 wide receivers.
I definitely agree with that. He's still available in mine, and I'm definitely drafting him if he's still there.
Yeah. All right. So running back now, it's I have so many running backs. I feel like I should just continue to attack some upside for wide receivers and looking on there. Man, this one's tough because Marquise Lee is there, and I think people have forgotten about him, obviously missing last year with a torn ACL, that people will do that, and he's had a lot of health problems throughout his career. But as it stands right now, he's the only player on Jacksonville who is likely to see 100 targets. I don't see D.D. Westbrook being that guy. D.J. Chark's not that guy. I do think they draft a wide receiver. But looking at the other available options here, it's... You know what, or do I take Larry Fitzgerald? So there does come a point where you say, I just want, you know, if I can get a proven year of production, you have to decide when it's okay to take a veteran. I think this is tough. Because Marquise Lee, like, best case scenario, he gets those targets, and what does he do?
And I don't know how much longer he's going to last either. You get 1 year out of Fitzgerald, hopefully three out of Lee, and is he even startable?
That's the question. You're right.
I'd go Fitzgerald between the two for what it's worth.
I think it's probably a better pick to do that. You know what's crazy is that, I'm not going to do it just because I can't risk Fitzgerald not being there because I'd drop another tier. But Matt Ryan is still available, taking him as my second quarterback. But I'm not going to do it because I have Russell Wilson. Again, it's not really necessary. So I'll just pass on that and I'm going to take Fitzgerald.
Okay. Good pick, man. So is it back to me?
It is back to you.
All right, I'm going Jamal Williams. He is still on the board, and the Packers are really stupid, apparently, because they're talking about Jamal Williams might start ahead of Aaron Jones or split the backfield. And if Aaron Jones gets hurt, we've seen it before, Jamal Williams suddenly becomes an RB1. So I would expect, just based on the average of how often running backs get hurt, I would expect 3 starts from Jamal Williams next year. Maybe we get 10, maybe we get 0, but on average, if you simulate the season 100 times, he gets about 3 starts, and that's 3 really good starts. So I need the running back. I'm going to get Jamal Williams here, and then let's see, Jamison Crowder or Larry Fitzgerald, they are both still there. It looks like Crowder's probably going to be gone. I would like to get Chase Edmonds just in case David Johnson gets hurt. I feel like he's the best backup running back at this point, besides the guys who are obviously like splitting touches. I really would like to get a second tight end. Delanie Walker is there. Greg Olsen is there. It's ugly. Hayden Hurst, we'll see what he becomes. Drew Brees is still there. I'm going to go Jamison Crowder and figure it out next round.
Jamison Crowder lasting there. That's the thing is, like, I obviously felt the need to take him at 13-11, so I think you got a deal on him. What was that, in the 15th round?
That was the 15th round, yep. And Larry Fitzgerald's there for me next round, too, so you know who I'm taking.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. So those guys obviously fell in your draft. Running backs for me are just dead. There's nobody there that I want. So the decisions I have to make now is I'm going to take Jameis Winston.
I almost took him. He was taken right before me, though.
Yeah, I think after this year, people might be talking about him as a top 6 dynasty quarterback under Bruce Arians. So I will take him and take the upside on my bench there. That means I'm done at quarterback. There's no need to have 3 on my roster, even in dynasty with those 2 guys there. And now when it gets to, Mark Andrews is available. He's easily the top tight end on my board. Or do I look down at wide receiver? There's guys like DeSean Jackson. I already have a 1 year player in Fitz. Don't want to do that. Geronimo Allison, the Packers did not tender him at all, which tells me that they don't really care about him. Adam Humphries, hate the landing spot in Tennessee. Yeah, there's not really much looking at wide receiver right now.
Is Equanimeous St. Brown still there for you?
St. Brown is still available.
Because I think he's going to be a starter in Green Bay this year.
It's
unless
possible.
They draft a wide receiver in the first round.
Honestly, looking at their roster, I think that they have a lot of voids filled through free agency that they can actually attack offense for the first time in a while in the draft. Yeah. So I think that they're going to draft a wide receiver high. And then, like, I don't know if Valdez Scantling is going to play in the slot. It just depends on who they draft, but they have options. So I'm just going to go and I'm going to take Mark Andrews here. I just feel like his upside at tight end on my bench, it's like there's outside of him, it's like I'd be taking veterans and I'm not going to start veterans over OJ Howard. Sure. So.
All right, Chase Edmonds is gone. That's who I was going to take. There's really no other running backs I like whatsoever at this point. There will be more in a dynasty startup after the draft once we know landing spots and everything like that. But at this stage, I'm just done with running backs, and it is ugly. I've got 5 of them. Marlon Mack is my number 1, Duke Johnson, Austin Eckler, Carlos Hyde, Jamal Williams. But you know what? Maybe I'll trade for them or something, or I'll pick some up in the rookie draft. Maybe all 5 of my rookie picks will be that. I'm going Larry Fitzgerald here. And then let's see here. I might go quarterback with Jimmy G still on the board. Drew Brees is there, but I've got Andrew Luck. So I'm going to go Jimmy G since he's a little bit younger, and maybe I can flip him if he has another really good season.
Nice. I think it's the perfect time. By the way, if you're in a dynasty now and you're not doing dynasty startups, you're just listening to the episode, Jimmy G is a perfect trade target right now. You know, you watch what Nick Mullins did, you know, walking into that offense, and they're going to add more receiving power. Jerick McKinnon's coming back. They did confirm that he'll be on the roster. So he's going to be receiving option. They have to address the wide receiver position at some point. You know, losing Pierre Garçon, it's not like he was a massive part, but he did get targeted in that offense. So they have to replace him. Dante Pettis is good, but I think Jimmy Garoppolo is a fantastic buy right now.
All right, man, who are you taking for your last two picks?
Last two. Wow, I didn't realize we were at the end already.
We've been going so much faster on these mock draft episodes, man. It used to be like a 5-hour show, and now we're like under 50 minutes. How does that happen?
I don't know. I mean, we feel the need to go through them, and it's like, you know, it's the off season. There's not as much news, so that helps. But now it's like time for upside. And, you know, you brought him up the last time that I was drafting.
Jordy Nelson.
No, Equanimeous St. Brown. Let's say the Packers don't draft a wide receiver in the first three rounds. St. Brown's probably starting. He started down the stretch for the team.
It's 50-50. He starts with Aaron Rodgers.
And
yeah,
that's what I always do. So in Dynasty, if there's one piece of advice that I can give you for building a Dynasty roster and having your bench, so look for guys like, so Deion Kane is a popular one, right? He's a guy that, like, if Devin Funchess being signed will definitely negatively impact his stock, but tie yourself to wide receivers on your bench that are tied to elite quarterbacks. So like Devontae Adams, when everybody was dumping him after he had a bad rookie year and saying how inefficient he was, I was racking him up on every single dynasty roster I had, because it was like, just tie the guy to Aaron Rodgers, and him especially, because they invested, what was it, a second round pick in him. So that's my advice, is like, look for guys that are, they might not be at the top of the depth chart, but if something does happen, someone gets traded, someone gets hurt, they move to the top, and all of a sudden they're a stud. So that's what I typically look to do on my bench.
So you going St. Brown?
I did go St. Brown with that pick. And for my last one, let me take another stability.
Mohamed Sanu.
I don't want to do that.
Who I want, man.
I was actually going to do Sanu, but I'm not going to do that, just because like it's going against what I do on my fantasy benches. I have Fitzgerald. Let me see who is available here.
What do you think about Amir Abdullah? He's going to be in that number two role, I would assume, over Mike Boone in Minnesota. Dalvin Cook seems to be injury prone. There's a chance Amir Abdullah ends up being the starter for a period of time in Minnesota.
I think Amir Abdullah is a guy that I love to stash on the bench. I hate that he re-signed with Minnesota. I don't like it. I wanted him.
I want to see Mike Boone start over Dalvin Cook. He's so much fun. He's not better than Dalvin Cook. Don't hear me saying that. I just want to see more Mike Boone in my life.
Yeah. No, I mean, I totally understand that.
Frank Gore's probably got another 20 years if you want to run.
Probably. all right. I'm going to just go with, man, all right, I'm going to go with David Moore. David Moore, I talked about this tying wide receivers to elite quarterbacks. You know, if Doug Baldwin doesn't return, maybe not the same player, maybe not just not return at all, that would obviously prompt
My
David Moore to see more targets. So I'm just going to go ahead and take David Moore.
If David Moore was on like one of 25 other teams, he'd be starting and he'd be quality. I think he's very similar to Tyler Boyd. And, he just happens to be blocked by Tyler Lockett and Doug Baldwin. I'd like to see more David Moore.
David Moore is the issue with him is that he's like perimeter only. And that does limit, you know, in terms of what he can see. They just moved him side to side. He didn't get any slot usage because that's all designated for Doug Baldwin and Tyler Lockett.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if that changes if they decide to, you know, if Doug Baldwin misses time, because Doug Baldwin just had a hernia surgery, and apparently there's another surgery he has to have done this offseason. So there's a lot of questions with Doug Baldwin right now. So again, if something happens, David Moore, you know, the last spot on my bench, I'll take it.
You know, I was trying to read your tone because I know you've already seen your draft grade. You don't seem especially excited or disappointed. So I'm assuming you got like a B, like an 87, 88, 89. So this pick is really important for me, even though it's not going to swing the needle at all. I'm taking Equanimeous St. Brown, and let's see what I got. Actually, you know what? Tell me what your grade is before I hit the draft button.
I did get a B, and it's I'm a little let down by that grade, to be honest with you. I love this team. Like if I were to draft
this
team,
it's the best dynasty startup mock draft I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, like I said, if this was my team in a league that's this deep, I would walk away feeling like so confident. But I got a B. I got an 84 out of 100.
Yes. Okay, let's see. Here we go. Draft. Whew. Yeah. Oh, yeah, baby. Streak is over. 86.
Oh, my God. I don't know if you'll ever get a reaction like that on the podcast ever again, but congratulations.
Man, too bad this wasn't a video podcast because I was dancing and everything.
I believe it. I believe it. We have to run through our squads because like,
I'm really disappointed, actually, because I finished in fourth place. Mm-hmm. And I would have assumed that I finished in first since, you know, I beat you and you're the best team ever. You know, it gave my bench the number one team in the league. And you know what? So I'm going to say that last pick. It swung it. I won because of Equanimeous St. Brown.
My bench was the, it says it was the second or third worst in the league, which...
Do better, man. Do better next time.
That's actually what hurt my team more than anything. I finished second in terms of starters.
Listen to Tags making these excuses already. He's acting like he doesn't care and everything, and he's like, oh, my bench.
Yeah, I'm not excited about that. I don't like losing my streak, but it's okay.
Dude, seriously, your team is way better than mine.
I felt pretty good about it. Like I said, like if I were to walk away from a draft, that's how I usually think about it. It's not to say that there aren't spots where you could do better, but if I were to walk away from a draft with this roster, I would have felt really, really good.
Wow, there's one team in my league that is so much worse than everyone else. And I love this about Draft Wizard, how it gives you the rankings and you know, projects how your team is going to do. So everyone got between 1285 and 1532. Except one team got 978. I want to see what they did so bad. Le'Veon Bell, Darius Geis, Kareem Hunt in the fourth round, Alshon Jeffrey. They drafted a bunch of rookies. A.J. Brown, N'Keal Harry, Hakeem Butler. Lamar Jackson's their quarterback. This is not a good team.
Yeah, no, there's some rough teams. You can go through and look at the standings, and that's how it's going to be in every dynasty league. And that those are the people that typically want to leave the league because it's going to be tough to rebuild. But yeah, it's
so before we read our rosters, tell us who won your league. Osmosis Jones won for me. I'll give you the roster in a second. Who won in yours?
Mine was Sasquatch Barkley.
Okay. Who'd they draft?
They drafted Andrew Luck, Saquon Barkley. They had the number one pick, so that helps. Luck, Saquon, James Conner, Philip Lindsay, Antonio Brown, Cooper Kupp, Cortland Sutton, Robbie Anderson, Trey Burton.
That sounds good. That's nowhere close to your team, though.
Yeah, Trey Burton, a tight end. I mean, the flexes are Dallas Goedert, Deion Lewis, and Devontae Parker. Bench, Dante Moncrief, Marquise Lee, Isaiah Crowell, John Kelly, Doug Martin, and Malcolm Brown. I mean, no, I like my roster better than this. Like, they do have...
That's a good one, though.
They do have... There's definitely... It's a top-heavy roster, and Saquon, I'm sure, tilts that quite a bit.
Yeah. The winning team in my league was Christian McCaffrey, David Johnson, Kerryon Johnson. Three running backs right at the start, then three young receivers. Corey Davis, DJ Moore, Cortland Sutton, Hunter Henry, Cam Newton. I like this team, Tags. I don't like it quite as much as either of ours, but that's a good way to start.
Yeah, no, for sure. My final roster, like I said, I mean, you guys let us know. Maybe... You know, the draft grade's wrong. I need to talk with the devs and get this right because anyways.
There must be a bug, right?
It's got to be. I mean, Russell Wilson at quarterback, my starting running backs in three spots are Leonard Fournette, Aaron Jones, and Chris Carson. My four starting wide receivers, Devontae Adams, Julio Jones, Chris Godwin, Sterling Shepard. Tight end is O.J. Howard. My flex spots go to Lamar Miller. I would say that I'll probably start Larry Fitzgerald. And Latavius Murray. And then my bench is Ronald Jones, Mark Andrews, Jameis Winston, Jamison Crowder, Equanimeous St. Brown, and David Moore. I love my team.
Do you guys want to hear the best team in this mock draft? Here we go. You know what I also like is how, you know, you've got these different tabs. So team analysis tells you where you rank at each starting position. So QB2, running back 12, not even close either. I have the number 11 RB1, number 12 RB2, number 12 RB3. This is a 12 team league. Then wide receivers, number 2 wide receiver 1, number 4 wide receiver 2, number 6 wide receiver 3, number 1 wide receiver 4, number 1 tight end, number 4 flex, number 5 flex 2, and then number 8 flex 3. So it does like, and then number 1 bench obviously as well. So here's my team. I got Andrew Luck and Jimmy Garoppolo at quarterback. Running backs, which are way better than Tags. Marlon Mack, Duke Johnson, Austin Eckler.
What?
I can't even get
those
through it.
Those are your starting running
backs? Jamal Williams, Carlos Hyde. Yeah, those are my starters, man.
Good God, that's bad.
The wide receivers are really good, though.
Odell Beckham,
Brandon Cooks, Sammy Watkins, Doug Baldwin, Travis Kelce. On the bench, I have Curtis Samuel, Jameson Crowder, Equanimeous St. Brown, and Larry Fitzgerald. I do like my team. I like my team better than I was thinking during the draft, but I just kept thinking, man, Tex has the greatest team ever. He's going to get like 105 grade, which obviously doesn't exist, but it really is an amazing team, Tex. And, but you know what? I won. That's all that matters.
Yeah, you did win, and it ended the streak, and that's okay. With this team, I'm okay with it. Like, I'd be, you know, like when you get done with, you know, your leagues on Yahoo or ESPN or whatever you do, you know, and you get done with the draft, and then all of a sudden the team in your league that gets the number one draft grade, you're like, my team is like much better than his. That's kind of how I feel right now. And that's okay. So in the end, you want to walk away confident in your team and comfortable with it. And knowing that I was drafting number 11, it did somewhat put me in a hole, obviously, because I don't get any of the top tier elite of the elite, like, you know, the Odell Beckhams, the Saquon Barkleys, the Hopkins, like those guys. But I feel really good walking away with the team that I did, considering where I was drafting.
All right, man, that's all for today's show. And, you know, I think that since this was the rubber match, this should probably be the final mock draft that we ever do. And I can just, you know, proclaim I'm the winner, the champion.
Nice.
Of the world. Is that fair? Or do you think we should do another one maybe next month?
Probably do a next one.
Okay, well, sounds good. All right, that's all for today's show. We're going to have a lot more off-season content, so make sure to hit the subscribe button if you haven't already. Hopefully this mock draft was a sign of things to come, because I just bid on a Baker Mayfield signed jersey from pristineauction.com. Thank you to them for sponsoring today's show. And make sure to sign up for our giveaway, a Davante Adams signed helmet at fantasypros.com/contest. And again, Pristine Auction is PRISTINE. For Mike Tagliere, who finished in second place, I'm Bobby Sylvester. Thanks for listening and enjoy your football. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.